Hey everyone, my name is Tommy Comfort and you are listening to the Tommy Comfort podcast. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring the theme of emotional purity. We're going to be looking at topics such as Christian girls and crushes, taking thoughts captive, stewarding singleness, and finally, he likes me, now what? Today I am joined by a really good friend of mine, Caitlin, founder of Kingdom Ambassadors, and we are going to be talking about taking thoughts captive. Thank you for joining me, Caitlin.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So when we talk about taking thoughts captive, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Or what do you understand that to mean?
When I think of taking thoughts captive, I literally think of bringing our thoughts and our intellect and everything that we perceive into alignment with God and his word. So when the scripture talks about it in 2 Corinthians, it relates it to bringing every thought in obedience to Christ. And I think that is the essence of taking thoughts captive, is literally managing what goes on in the intellectual realm and then making sure that it's in alignment with what God has spoken. So that's what I kind of think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Submitting our thoughts to God.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we don't think about very often. I think our thoughts can be areas of our lives that we keep to ourselves. Like, God, I'll submit this to you, I'll submit that to you, but my thoughts, those belong to me. I want to be able to at least control the aspects. But God is saying, like, he wants every part of us to be submitted to him.
I also wanted to say, even just as we get started, I think it's important to remember that we can control our thoughts, because I think that's a really interesting point that I hear a lot from Christians that may be struggling or battling with mental discipline in this area, is that they always give the excuse of, oh, I just think it, or, oh, I can't control what I think or what my mind perceives. But I think it's important that, yes, we may be flooded with loads of thoughts and ideas and things that we are receiving from the world on a daily basis, but we actually need to steward our mind well. We actually need to make sure that what we actually explore or what we continue to meditate on is glorifying to God. So as much as thoughts from different places or sources may come, we don't have to explore them. We don't have to take them and take them as truth or meditate on them extensively. So I just think that is a good preliminary to actually get into your mind, that the word of God has told us that we can take every thought captive, not by our own might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do that. So I think I just have to kind of shame that lie that we can't take our thoughts captive, or that our thoughts are uncontrollable things that we can't actually discipline ourselves to work on.
Yes, absolutely. And something else is that thoughts have consequences.
Yeah.
We don't talk about this enough. Sometimes we hide in our thoughts and we think, well, if I do something, then there's a physical consequence to that. But if I'm just thinking it, there is no consequence. But actually, I had a quote not too long ago that said that if the world is a stage, then the mind is our dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. So what we think we will act on when given the opportunity. We can't just think about something and think that it ends there. When it comes to lust, lust is one of those sins that wants more and more and requires more and more from us. So it might start from a single thought. For example, if you like somebody that maybe is taking me out on the first date, and you might end there and be like, oh, no, I'll never think about this again. The next time you're starting on the first date, the next time you're starting, you always start with the thought lust finished off. And that's the problem. The fact that lust require more and more from us. So we need to be careful to not just let our thoughts wander, like you said, to have more self-control in that regard and not just say, well, I can't control it, because we can. For yourself, Caitlin, what has the journey been in submitting your thoughts to Christ, especially when it's come to times where, for example, you like somebody or you're interested in somebody? How has that process been?
I think for me, it's definitely been difficult. It's definitely not something that comes with ease. Like I said, I think it's something you have to train yourself in and discipline yourself in continually. I think it's been difficult in the moments where I really explore the thought. So when it's not just a thought that I immediately take captive, but it's like I consciously know that I'm dwelling on it and I still allow it to go on. And that's where, you know, you'll start moving into things like lust. And then from there, produces so many other things that are just not good or not healthy for you to be walking in as a believer. But I think for me, I got to a point where I realized that a lot of this is very practical. It's a lot more practical than we make it or that we deem it to be. So I had to learn how to implement certain things or structures or meditations that would keep my mind focused throughout the day, mm-hmm. especially if I knew that I was interested in a guy or I liked a guy or I was around a guy a lot that I was growing to like or to have feelings for. I knew, especially in that season, my mental discipline had to be completely submitted to the Lord. So some things that I would do and that I have done over the years, just like on my journey when it comes to taking thoughts captive and making sure that my mind is pure and my meditations are pure, is being very practical when it comes to meditating on the scripture. I think this is something I've even tried to work on, especially this year. So some things that I've done is literally just having one verse a day that I will meditate on continually. So when that thought about the guy does come up and I don't want to be thinking about that right now, or when I'm with the guy and he's there and, you know, my heart has started to palpitate and flutter, you know, I'm able to think about my scripture for that day. And as much as it might seem so forced sometimes, especially when it comes to things of the mind, you have to tell your mind what to think. You literally have to force your mind to think of the things above. Another way I've done this is flashcards. So literally in moments where you may feel like you're not doing anything, so whether it be on the train, you're commuting, your mind can literally just wondrously aim. Like, you don't have to even be consciously trying to think of bad things for thoughts to just start filling your mind or negative thinking to take over. So I think having flashcards or just using your Bible app or somewhere where the Word of God is and the truth is, just making sure that you have that on hand for the moments where you really, really need truth to fill your mind over the lies of the enemy or the lies of the world.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I was listening to a speaker recently and he was talking about how we have to do lists to be productive in our days. So we need to have to think lists to be productive in our thoughts. Because honestly, if you're not thinking about, or if you're not trying to be intentional about what you're thinking about, your thoughts can wander. So just by saying, okay, I'm going to think on this scripture, I'm going to think on this project that I need to actually get done, I'm going to think on this work that I actually need to get done, or this idea that the Lord has been constantly laying on my heart that I haven't explored enough of. Just by having a to-think list for the day, it's just so helpful. Because it means that whenever your mind wanders, you can then bring it back to focus to be like, actually, I'm not going to let my mind wander there when there are other things that are more important to think about. Something else is, we've spoken about, you know, guarding your heart in terms of not letting these thoughts land. But what if at this point you're already distracted, you're already thinking about this person constantly, there's already a lot on your mind, you find that your mind in some ways seems beyond repair. You haven't placed those boundaries there in time and now you seem too far. How do you then return to a place of being sober-minded and letting your mind be submitted to Christ in that way? A big lie that the enemy tells us sometimes is that we've fallen in love with this person and now there is just no way, and now we're just imprisoned to this emotion of being in love. But actually, love is a choice. If love is not a choice, then what you're feeling is lust and infatuation. Love is always a choice. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah. So if you are infatuated with this person, then what you need to do is go back to the Word and go back to what it means to be in love. So when you get the lie of, I'm in love with this person, then read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, well, love is patient, love is kind. All these things are choices. Are these choices I'm making every day? If they're not, then I need to get my mind back in line to what God is saying about love. I need to get my mind back in line to what God is saying about me and this person, and not just how I feel and what my emotions are bringing up.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think one thing that you may have to do for the sake of sobriety in that kind of situation is to remove yourself as far as possible from the person that you seem to be, you know, heavily thinking about or meditating on excessively. I think seeing the person, interacting with them, being around them is just going to feed into that continual meditation. So I think to the best of your ability, cut off any kind of communication that is unnecessary, or do your best to avoid seeing them face to face as best as you can, because the more you do that, the more your heart is going to continually get stirred up, the more your mind is going to continue to delve into the things that you've already decided that you don't want to be thinking on anymore. So instead of adding, you know, more fire, you need to try and quench that fire now, and not be continually setting it ablaze every time you have a deep, long conversation with them and your thoughts again start to wander, and then that seeps into your heart and then your meditations won't be pleasing to the Lord. And ultimately, that's what we want. We want our heart and our mind to honour God.
Yeah, and I think also know your triggers.
Yeah.
Because there are times when maybe, for example, you've had a long day, you've had a long stressful day, and all you want is someone to ask you, have you eaten today, for example? Because that can mean a lot. And because of that, you go back into conversation with this person that you know that the Lord has said, no, you shouldn't be speaking to, or you just need attention. Maybe you haven't felt love that day or love that week, and this person gives you a certain level of attention. And I think you need to know your triggers. And instead of going back into the arms of that person, fall into the arms of God. Instead of looking for attention from that person, just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me today. Yeah. I do that quite often. Just like, Holy Spirit, just say something to me. Let me know that I am loved in this moment. So I don't have to go looking for it in somebody who doesn't know how to love me as perfectly as you do. Holy Spirit, help me to know that you care about me. Help me to know that I don't have to seek attention and all of these things from other people. Because the identity that God has placed on us is always enough. And when we go out seeking it out, seeking out identity in people that cannot place identity on us, it means that we don't know the identity that we have in Christ.
Definitely. I think even following on from what you were saying about knowing your triggers, I think one thing that we need to be so aware of, especially in this day and age, is just the influence that media has on us, whether it be Netflix, movies, certain series that we're watching, or even just social media. And it's not that any of these things are wrong in and of themselves, but I think we need to do, especially now, a much better job at guarding our heart in terms of what the scripture commands us to, because out of it flows the issues of life. And I really think that it's important, because a lot of fantasy can be developed just from what we're subconsciously taking in on a daily basis. And the example that we were talking about earlier was literally that you could be just scrolling on Instagram and seeing all of these couples on holiday, and then you end up translating or projecting what you've seen onto the person that you like.
Yeah.
So then a desire starts to build up, and then your mind starts to wonder as to what a holiday would be like with them. And this all started just from you seeing that couple on holiday. And it's not to say the couple is doing anything wrong or they shouldn't be on holiday, but you have to really be disciplined in your mind in those moments to, one, recognize the source of that thought. Where did that actually come from? And be honest with yourself. If you are really struggling in a season with this, maybe being on social media is not the best thing for you. Maybe watching rom-coms is not the best thing for you.
Yeah.
So I think being real about where the source of these thoughts, what the source of these thoughts are, and then actually cutting those things off or bringing discipline in that area so that your meditation can be pure.
Absolutely. The Bible tells us to set our hearts and minds on the things above.
Yeah.
And anything that distracts us from the things above, whether that is a TV show, whether that is a guy, whether that is a friend, those things need to be cut off. The Bible says that if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out.
Yeah.
And it's so important that we're willing to lose everything just to gain Christ, not necessarily gain Christ in terms of gaining salvation or grace or anything like that, but actually just to be closer to him, just to be intimate with him, just so that our lives are a sweet smelling aroma to him. Don't get distracted by the things of this world, because they're so fleeting. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But when we set our hearts on the things above, we're able to take our thoughts captive. Yeah, just finally, Caitlin, is there anything that you say to a girl who's been struggling in this area?
I think the one thing that I would say that the Lord has really taught me, and I think is probably one of the main truths that has kept me in times where I've really liked a guy or been interested in a guy and my thoughts have not been the most disciplined, is remembering their identity as sons of God and actually allowing for that to influence my thought life about them if I am thinking about them. I think it's so easy when we're interested or we like a guy or we find a guy really attractive to immediately just put him in the future husband zone or to put him in the crush zone or the interest zone. And we fail to actually let our meditations be driven by the fact that this is actually one of God's sons. This is actually one of my brothers in the faith. And it's somebody that I've been called to edify and encourage and not be lusting over or not even be causing them to stumble with certain things that I may be doing as a result of my thoughts. So I think definitely remembering that any guy that I'm interested in or any guy that I like is firstly one of God's sons. And I think immediately, if I was struggling with Zach, I would go and read Romans 8. And I would literally read through Romans 8 and I would look at what it means to be a son of God and everything that God thinks of that guy. And that would actually help to purify my thought immediately and focus it back onto how God sees him.
Yeah, absolutely. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
The way we perceive things, the way we see things should always be the way Jesus sees them. And when our thoughts are not in line with that, we need to get back in the Word and realign ourselves. Because in any situation, whenever our thoughts and our Bible does not match up, the fault is not the Bible, the fault is with us. We need to realign our mindsets with that of the Word. Thank you so much for joining me, Caitlin.
Thank you for having me.
Where should we follow you, Caitlin?
You can follow my Twitter at _CaitlinNunez. And then you can follow my Instagram at Caitlin Nunez.
Thank you. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to send me a message on Twitter at Tommy Comfort and Instagram at Tommy Comfort. Until next time.